have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, begin to clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning time. Yeah. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. This is the day I've got joy. I've got joy. Everybody lift him higher, praise his joyful name.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. I often talk with people who tell me that they are having difficulty making ends meet. They are struggling to pay the rent or the mortgage. When I ask about whether they have a budget, most times they do not. They later tell me how they recently picked up the latest in cell phone technology and the most amazing electronics. Upon further discussion, I learned that they have borrowed money from someone else to help pay their bills. Unfortunately, all too often this becomes a vicious circle, and we must ask ourselves, what is our spiritual condition with respect to our finances? In order to evaluate your spiritual condition with respect to your finances, you must ask yourself some basic questions. Number one, do you give your first fruits to God, or does he get the leftovers? Number two, do you borrow money without consulting God? Number three, do you have a savings account? Proverbs 21 and 20 reminds us of the wisdom of saving, telling us there are precious treasures and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a self-confident and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. Number four, when you have a material need or want, do you pray and wait patiently for God? In Psalm 27 and 14, David tells us to wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Number five, are you content with God's provision? We must strive to be as Paul indicated in Philippians 4, 12 through 13, when he said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. God wants to be first in your life. Your financial condition is a reflection of your commitment to truly putting God first in all areas of your life. Through prayer and meditation, ask the Lord to reveal to you the areas of your finances that require healing. Remember, he wants to guide us. He simply is waiting for us to ask him for direction. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Make a commitment to improve your spiritual condition with respect to your finances. You will not regret it. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest D. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's gospel news. Whether he's delivering a contemporary R&B and hip-hop informed song or preaching alongside a more traditional church choir, Pastor Mike Jr. brings a powerful voice to his electric contemporary gospel flavor. His solo debut album, 2019's Live Free, went to number one on the Billboard Top Gospel Albums chart. The son of a pastor, Michael D. McClure Sr., Pastor Mike Jr. hails from Birmingham, Alabama. As leader of the Rock City Church in Forestdale, Alabama, he released his first solo single, Big, in mid-2019. He followed it up with the full-length album, Live Free. It went all the way to the top of the Billboard Gospel Albums charts that October of the same year, also reaching the top 20 of the Independent Albums chart. One of the leading figures in gospel hip-hop is Lecrae. He delivers Christ-centered rhymes with secular flair, employing contemporary production that attracts fans from both ends of the spiritual spectrum. Influenced by Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, Lecrae made his debut in 2004 with the album Real Talk, which he issued on his own label. He topped the Christian charts with 2008's Rebel and took home the Grammy for Best Gospel Album with 2012's Gravity. His journey is to bring his message to the mainstream. In addition to collaborations with secular artists like E-40, Ty Dolla, Dolla Sign, Tori Kelly, and many others, Lecrae teamed up with trap producer Zaytoven in 2018 for the joint effort Christian chart-topping hit Let the Trap Say Amen. In 2020, he released his ninth set, a seventh Christian chart-topping number one album entitled Restoration. Jordan Armstrong is a contemporary gospel artist whose sound is in line with commercial R&B. The Baton Rouge, Louisiana native entered the music industry in the behind-the-scenes capacity as a writer of secular material, and since 2009, he's been building a discography that contains the Billboard chart-topping release Confident in 2016 and BLSD in 2018. He has scored his biggest hit ever with the song My God in 2021. It topped the Gospel Airplay charts. Well, it was an historic night at the 2022 Grammy Awards as Maverick City Music was the first Christian artist's performance in the last 20 years. The Worship Collective would then go on to pick up their first ever Grammy with Elevation Worship for their collective album, Old Church Basement. Here's a partial list of this year's winners. The Grammy Award for Best Gospel Performance Song went to CeCe Winans for the song Never Lost. Best Contemporary Christian Music Performance Song, Believe For It, CeCe Winans, writer Dwan Kill, Kyle Lee, CeCe Winans, and Mitch Wrong, songwriters. Best Gospel Album, Believe For It, CeCe Winans. Best Contemporary Christian Music Album, Old Church Basement, Elevation Worship, and Maverick City Music. And the Best Roots Gospel Album went to My Savior by Carrie Underwood. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Joshua Rogers, Still Gon' Trust. 9, Renee Spearman, I Got God. 8, Tamela Mann, He Did It For Me. 7, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, Gotta Believe. 6, Pastor Mike Jr., Amazing. 5, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence is a Gift. 4, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music with Gyra. 3, Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle with No Greater Love. Number 2, Byron Cage, You Are. And our new number 1 song comes from Juan Winans and Deborah Joy Winans with Never On My Own. Well, that's your top 10 songs. Your 2022 Grammy Award winners in the Christian category, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Now to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can hear my good friend, Nina Taylor, along with my beautiful wife every Thursday evening at 10 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio / Elations Radio. Good evening to each and every one of you. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I want to welcome you to the Pastor's Corner. It's a show that's provocative, creative, and as my good friend Apostle Evan Whitlow would always say, it is real, it is raw, and yes, it is relevant. We're not going to take too much time today in our introductions, but I must say this is the day that the Lord has made. And we've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in it. I'm excited for what God is doing in each and every one of your lives, for the new opportunities that he has brought to you, for the opportunity for you to elevate and to escalate and to move forward in the things that God has made available just for you. But now, wait a minute. I've got to invite some other folk in to come and continue a discussion we started a couple of weeks ago. So without further ado, Let me start bringing the crew to you. Here is tonight's panel leading off as always. Been with me for the last 6+ years. And I so appreciate what God is doing in him, with him, and through him. I want you to say hello to the one, the only, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. Good evening, sir.
The blessing of the Lord be upon you, young man. With the Pastor's Corner. Looking forward to tonight's discussion in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Coming in the second spot, and he's been away from us for a short while, but I believe he's back, and I know he's back with a vengeance, and I'm going to look forward to hearing from him tonight. I want you to say good evening and hello to Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you there, sir?
Let's get it on. Your word. Let's get it on. Oh. Say, let's get it on.
There we go.
Revelation and power. Let's get it on. Oh, hallelujah. How you doing, sir?
Now, you must be in the process of writing a new song or an old song with some new words. Anyway, let us move forward. I normally save this one for last, but I have to put her in the third spot. She should be in the number one spot because always without her, we would not be able to even have a show. She is the visionary for Blog Talk Radio / Elations Radio. And I want to welcome in our producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. How are you tonight, my dear sister? Unmute yourself. She hasn't unmuted herself as of yet, so we'll wait for a minute or two. Let me continue the introductions. I don't know if she's with us. I believe she is. So we are going to find out right here, right now. She's the new kid on the block. Not that she's a kid, but she's a newbie to us and just as powerful as everybody that is on this panel, all the way from Hotlanta, Georgia itself. Come on and say hello to Apostle Felicia Wright. Are you with us today? I hear no hand clap, which means there's silence, so she may have taken off with Z-Land. Y'all know how that works. This next individual is a fireball, a secret storm, can just create chaos for the enemy on a moment's notice. Just one prayer away from her, and I promise you, things is going to be all right. Please, let's welcome Pastor Anna Henderson. Are you with us tonight, sis?
Yes, I am. This is the day the Lord has made. I made a conscious decision. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be a part of this panel tonight.
Amen. Now, there are others that I did invite to come and be with us. They were supposed to be with us last week, but due to technical difficulties and other issues, we did not air a show last week. But to me, just charge it to my head and not to my heart. But I'm checking to see if Pastor Felicia has made her way in. Are you with us tonight? Okay. Now let me check. Is there anyone else that may have joined us that desires to be made known and wants to be part of our panel for tonight? Please talk. Uh-oh. What's going on? We're doing it again.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. I was testing my stuff. I was talking and everything.
Oh, my Lord. You know what, Dr. Robinson? We are going to have a discussion when we get off the air.
Oh, geez.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can't help it. I was just trying to.
You'll be all right. Yeah. I'm just kind of noticing
now?
It. I can hear you perfect. I can hear the telephone call, and everybody else is probably calling you. But nonetheless, go ahead. Just address the crowd and the audience and say hello before we move
hello.
Forward.
Hello. I was just testing my microphone. I've got a new microphone because my sound hasn't been great, so I thought it was fixed. When you were calling my name, I was talking. And
I call
me,
your
so.
Name, girl. No, I'm sorry. I just had an old school moment right there. Anyway, but you know what? We're so happy to have you. Oh, she is. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, I cannot let this fireball get away. Joining us all the way from the hills of West Virginia, if she hasn't moved or come to another place, I do want you to know she's anointed, appointed, called by God, chosen but never frozen. Please say hello to Apostle Dawn Westbrook. How you doing tonight?
Amen. Dr. Kimmy Kim, you and I are going to have a talk afterwards. Amen. God bless you, everyone.
Go.
Well, good you can evening. Just come on and just not say a word.
Incognito. Oh, I was just going to listen. The Lord bless you.
Now,
thank you so much.
Well, amen. We're going to look for you to join in. When you hear something that strikes you in the spiritual nerve, speak up, because tonight is a hot topic. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Apostle Smith, if you would be so kind as to pray us in. Pastor Henderson, I need 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the first 6 verses. We are going to continue our discussion in the topic. So this is what we're doing now. That is the topic. So this is what we're doing now. So if you will, Apostle Smith, pray us in. Pastor Henderson, and if you can find the Amplified Classic version, I'd appreciate it, or the Amplified version, I would appreciate it.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your precious love, your great mercy, Lord God, the Holy Ghost, that you have given into our spirit man. And, Father, we thank you because it's given us guidance every day of our life, how to live holy, how to be family to you, how to move in great power. And even tonight, you shall come in this Bible study, and we shall be able to bring forth good statements, good revelation, because, Lord, it is full of your power. Tonight, God, we are dealing with your spirit because the word of God says, the word of God is spirit and it is life. So, Lord God, let somebody catch hold to the alive word. That's why his spirit, let them catch on to the living word so they can live. And we thank you and praise you tonight for everyone that is a part of this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Let us hear the word.
Amen. I want to... Is that 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter? Is that right? The first 6 verses?
2 Timothy, chapter 3. It's perilous times. No problem.
Sorry.
No problem. We are here. We are here. Don't make me start singing. You want to get the word out. Oh, bless his great name. Tonight's a great night, folks. I know many of you are waiting, sitting on edge. When you're ready, my dear sister, just let us know that you're ready. I know it takes a small minute to be able to pull things together. I do want to let you know that I am on location at this moment. I ran into, while she's getting the word pulled together, I ran into the lovely, talented Nina Taylor today. And we sat down and had a late lunch, light dinner. had great conversations. So, Nina, I know you're probably listening, not on the panel tonight, but thank you so much for just taking a moment to show your brother a grace and a kindness while I was in the city of Columbus, Ohio. Are we ready?
Yes, sir. Amen. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, starting with verse 1 in the Amplified Version. But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times will come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane, unloving, devoid of natural human affection, callous and inhumane, malicious gossips, devoid of self-confidence, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people and keep far away from them, for among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwelt women, weighed down by sins, easily swayed by various impulses. Okay, that was verse 6. I stopped at 6.
Amen, amen. We bless God for the word. Now listen, the dissertation tonight's not going to be that long. The word spoke for itself. Of course, we recognize this as the Apostle Paul having a conversation by way of letter with his son in the ministry, Timothy. And I do want to point something out here for those of you that are listening by way of radio or by way of social media, wherever you may be listening. Too many times we tend to think that Paul's letters are directed to the world and to the unsaved and to those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. No, in this particular case, Paul's letter is directed at the church, telling Timothy what to look for, knowing that these things are going to come to the horizon, and what these are indications of what the end time shall be like. Paul, on another occasion in the book of Hebrews, as they've given him the creditor to the writings of the Hebrew epistle to the Hebrews, talked about the state of apostasy that would come. And in sharing with Timothy, he is just reiterating something that was said when he wrote to the epistle to the Hebrews. Now, what I'm trying to point out here, now, when we first started this whole dissertation, something had occurred 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm not going to go too deep into it because we've heard, I guess, every angle and every side we could possibly hear. And if there's anybody here that wants to voice their base opinion on it, I welcome you to do so. You recall back at the Oscars when Chris Rock said a particular joke that pertained to a movie called G.I. Jane and directing it at one Jada Pinkett Smith, saying G.I. Jane 2. She said, "Love you, Jada, G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see the movie." At which time, Will Smith, who is Jada Pinkett Smith's husband, laughed first and then went up on stage, slapped Chris Rock, and went back to his seat and proceeded to voice his quote-unquote supposed displeasure at the comment that was made. And not that we are putting them in any category. I know Chris Rock goes to West Angeles Church of God in Christ out there in Los Angeles, and I'm not sure if Will Smith goes to church. I understand that they were in some form of Scientology, but that's not for me to say because that's not what we're here to talk about. What we are here to talk about is those telltale signs of the end and the things that we're seeing in this day and in this age. It's an amazing thing that we could say, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied every groan, but yet toward one another we'll be divisive, we'll be shysty, we'll be underhanded, we will throw shade, we will try to put the spotlight on us. And Paul talks about all these things with Timothy in those first six verses of that particular chapter of 1 Timothy. And so tonight we're going where we left off on the subject. Is this what we're doing now? So without further ado, I'm going to actually ask Apostle Whitlow if he'll come with his version or his dissertation, and then we'll begin to open the floor and begin discussion.
The Lord bless you again. I'm not certain from which aspect you want me to come from, but I think there are so many things that have been taking place. I'll use the latest scenario for example. We've just come across the information of a gentleman entering a New York subway station, and it begins to open fire, and 10 unfortunately died. 12 or more were injured, and was unfortunate for such a thing to happen in New York at that, although we expect things to happen wherever they happen, but in a subway station, you know, today I'm just going to get up and I'm just going to start shooting because I feel like it. Is this what we're doing now? I mean, so we feel some kind of hate, so we just pack whoever. I mean, it puts me back in mind of one AME church that was having Bible study, and they sitting there with the pastor and several members, and they endeavoring to look at the Word of God, and some young man enters, sits down for a little while, gets up, walks out to his car, comes back in with a semi-automatic weapon and starts shooting people in the church. Is this what we're doing now? You come to another church in Texas on a Sunday morning while service is going on, and someone walks in and starts shooting people. Is this what we're doing now? We've got preachers who are preaching, and you got people who stand up while the preacher's preaching to cuss the preacher out while the preacher is preaching. Is this what we're doing now? What I'm saying is we are in a place where, unfortunately, the mindset of people is completely off, because people have, one, they have no more morals, and I believe, two, people have gone mad. Their thought process is no longer there. Their responsibility as a human being is no longer there. And so they're doing these things, and we read it is because the reason they do these things is because they love themselves more than they love God. And so, therefore, they show themselves, and I'd like to say it this way, they really show their hiney. And matter of fact, if that's not enough, wait a minute, if that's not enough, I do believe that when we read the Word of God that we can come up with some interesting topics, some interesting subjects. But I was watching, somebody sent me something from TikTok with this woman who gets up and she reads the scripture based upon Palm Sunday, how Jesus tells the disciples to go over and you're going to find an ass, just tie it over there, get the ass and bring them to me. And if anybody should ask, what did you do? And tell them that the master had need of it. And this woman has the nerve to use for a subject, bring your ass to Jesus so he can use you. So I'm saying, is this what we're doing now? Like, really? There has become such a disgrace and a degrading measure of how people have used the words and the thoughts that they do, and they call themselves Christians and whatnot. I just want to know, is this what we're doing now? Because that sounds like there's something wrong to me. It just seems like that. I mean, I don't know much, but what I do know, that just don't seem like what it's supposed to be. I'm going to stop right there and drop the mic.
All right, and I so appreciate that. Now, I'm going to give anybody, let's give everybody an opportunity, a chance to respond to what they've heard so far, because I don't want us to get so far out. We can put a lot out and not get a chance to respond to what's already been put out. So I'm going to try to chop this up and make the pieces a little smaller. Not that we can't handle it, but I would like to hear from everybody. And Apostle Smith, I'm going to start with you. Apostle Westbrook, I pray that you would follow him. I made her an apostle now. Pastor Henderson, I would like to hear from you. And Dr. Robinson, I would love to hear from you. So it gives you a chance to get yourself kind of settled a little bit and get your new mic working perfect. All right, from what you have heard scripture-wise and the current events that have taken place or are taking a place, what do you take from all this, Apostle Smith?
I would like to say that there is a spirit in the church, and Dr. Williams, who just passed just a few weeks ago, but she said a few years ago, I think I shared this with y'all one time before, she said the problem with the church that we got too many so-called saints standing at the crack, leaning over in the world, trying to see how far in sin and yet call themselves saved. But one thing people forget, if you are bent over the crack, you're not in God.
All right.
Now, that, right. I just make that plain, make that simple. You can't be in God and in the world. If you bend over the crack, you're out of God.
All right.
And so I would also like to say, along with Apostle Whitlow was saying, I couldn't believe in a certain area that a church or the church people, so-called, stayed at a certain church after finding out that for ages of that pastor being there, he had a rape generation going on. He had been raping young girls since he had been there, and when they found out about it, they were still coming to her. They were still coming to church to hear him preach.
My goodness.
No way, no how am I coming to church to hear somebody with a rapist mentality, and it's been found out, proven, and shown. And what's sad, the only way it was proven is because the son called himself raping a young girl in the church. And when they took him to jail, he said, I was only doing what I see my father do.
My God. My goodness. This is what we're doing, huh?
Yes.
My Lord.
And so,
all right. My God.
When we talk about there's so many things that are going on, having husbands that were having infidelity on their wives, and yet had a national, international TV broadcast, and it came out. I mean, there's so much going on. Hey, man, those of us that are trying to be real, this is why we're having such a hard situation.
My Apostle Westbrook, can I get you to chime in? My Lord.
Praise
Thank you
Lord.
For that,
Amen.
Apostle Smith. Go ahead.
The Lord bless
Go
you.
Ahead.
Amen. Am I next? I'm sorry, I had stepped away.
Yes,
because
you are.
I have...
Yes.
Okay, amen. I have a bit of a conflict here. Can I... Can you go to the next person and I'll chime back in, because I'm trying to put away my two fuzzy kids. They just seem to be wanting to act up by the blood of Jesus. So I'll be right back. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to go. Pastor Henderson, I'm sorry. That's funny. Anyway,
amen.
Pastor Henderson.
Amen. I agree with what has been said already. And in addition, you know, Paul... This writing is written to the church, and when I was thinking about it, you know, he's writing to the church to make the church aware of the characteristics of the last days, and for the church, it wasn't written to the world, but it was written to the church
because he wants us to be aware of what the characteristics of the last days are. And we, this generation, we are closer to the coming of the Lord than any other generation has ever been since time began. And so we are seeing the actual manifestations of these things that are written in Scripture, especially in this second chapter, in this second Timothy, in the third chapter. And, you know, in another version, it was like letting us know, be aware that in these last days that our culture and our society is going to change into a society that's barbaric, that's inhumane, that's cannibalistic, and all of these things that savage, that have no love, that have no consciousness of what they're doing as far as it relates to one another. And we are seeing that. And as Apostle Whitlow mentioned, that incident in the subway and the different things that we're hearing, and, you know, when we see these things, it's like, wow, I can't believe this. But then again, you know, when you think about that, we are that generation that Apostle Paul was talking about in this chapter. We are the ones actually seeing these things more so than any other generation. And I imagine back then they were seeing a lot of these, but not like we're saying. We have never been in a time like we're seeing now, because that time had never existed before now. And now we are actually seeing these things happen before our eyes. And these are the things that are coming to pass. And he told us that these things would come to pass. And so when I look at these things and I see these, it's just like God doesn't want his people to be altogether shocked, although our natural man is like, wow, I can't believe I'm seeing this. But then you have to like jump back and into the spirit and like say, but these things must come to pass. But how do I as a people, how do we as a church, how do we deal with these things that are happening? Because that's going to happen, and I don't think it's going to stop. I think we continue to see so many weird and crazy things happening, even just in driving. And I think I heard someone say it's like a spirit that has been released, because, you know, even driving, people are doing crazy things on the road, just not even on the highway, but just in the streets. Just the other day, this car just came out of nowhere, coming through a parking lot, driving about 90. I mean, if any car had gotten in their way, I mean, he would have hit him. I mean, we just happened to be standing still. But if he's driving 90 in a parking lot where cars are and people are pulling in and out. And I'm thinking, who does it? Then he goes around and turns around and does a U-turn twice in a street that was dangerous. So people are just doing crazy things. And so we just have to stay prayed up, because we're gonna encounter these things that he's talking about, because people have become lovers of themselves, and they're not concerned about other people. You know, they're not concerned about their fellow man, because they have lost the love. Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that the love of many will wax cold, that they don't have, people yes. just are losing love for their neighbor. And so that's where we are. But I think for the church in our position is that we have to be prayerful and stay in that mode and posture of prayer in these last days.
Amen. Dr. Robinson.
Yes. My input would be basically not only aren't we having the same standards, we're not really holding our disobedience to God accountable. We're not, a lot of us are not, taking heed to the commandments. I still believe that we are to be following them. And secondly, it's just been prophesied. It says in the word that it would be getting a lot worse, and that's what it's doing. The world is not the same, and you're seeing more and more hatred. Crime is at a rapid. Stable homes are like the common, you know. Unstable homes are common now. No love for your neighbor. You know, people aren't willing to help one another. This is the church, not people who aren't safe. And it's just a little, you know, a little different, you know. A lot of bite-biting and gossiping, not the gospel, but gossiping, tearing one another down. Now, you know, sometimes we may need corrections, and it's how you do it. So I really believe that at the end of the day, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back, and we must be ready. So I really concur what was said, and all of these events are just confirmation of, you know, the wicked enemy. He wants us to think that it's hopeless, but it's not, because we still know that God is still able, because no weapon formed against us will prosper. But we must keep the faith and stay faithful to his word and take heed to his word. And I yield.
Amen. I thank you all for your comments, and I want to just make one minor correction. I know what you meant when you said, understand, but to Paul, to Timothy, whom Timothy would again share with the church. But I only want to make that correction because we do have listeners that may try to call us to the carpet on such things. But one thing I want us to pay attention to, as the body of Christ, and I know many of us should be able to remember the days when the church was a pillar in the community. When a problem broke out in the community, we went to the church to get that problem resolved. What has happened to the strength? And I know, Apostle Westbrook, when you're ready, just open your mic and let me know you're ready. But what has happened to us over the days, weeks, months, and years? Is it possible that we've gotten relaxed and have come to a point and place where we have literally lowered the standards of God to the place and point where we just allow certain things to be what they are? I mean, somebody, please talk to me about this. My heart goes out to those individuals who have been raped and molested and, you know, sexually abused, and it doesn't seem like the church has said much. We can, I don't want to pick on any particular church branch, but in the Catholic Church, we found out over the last few years that altar boys were being molested by the priest, and not all places, but some places. These are just some of the things we have heard, and yet, rather than deal with these things, now if I'm right, somebody help me. I believe Peter said that judgment must first begin with the house of God. How can judgment begin with somebody who's not willing to acknowledge that a wrong has been done? Perilous times are coming as a result of wrongdoing being lifted up as if it was right. Does anybody agree or disagree with that?
Well,
talk to me, y'all.
I think there's an element of agreement, but here's the thing. Remember when we were coming up, we were told our pastors and leaders, they said, let us not forget the young people because they are the church of tomorrow. And so they included us in a lot of things. They had us to do a lot of things. They taught us a certain type of way, a certain type of standard. But over the course of years, I believe that another generation has dropped the ball when it comes to what we are seeing in today's church. Watch this, because there's something. When we look back, I want to read this to you real quick out of Second Timothy, but not the. I don't want to look at the third chapter. I want to go back to the second chapter, and it says, "Watch this." In the first two verses, it says, "Now therefore, my son," this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall able to teach others also. And so what Paul told Timothy is, hey, you saw me with a standard. You heard me to teach and preach a certain type of way, he says, and I want you to commit or cause others to be committed to doing the same thing that I've got you to be committed to doing. We have people who are operating in the body of Christ who are not committed. And I'm going to tell you why they're not committed. Because the truth of the matter is we have a bunch of bastards that are behind the sacred desk. We have a bunch of renegades who are not accountable, who what they want is they want somebody to recognize them because of their gift, but they don't have any character. And so the reason we have these issues in church is because today's local assembly is operating based upon gifts, and they're going places that their gift is taking them places that their character cannot sustain. sustain them. Because watch this, the higher you go, the more you are responsible for. And because people are not ready for it, what they do is they act out. And so this is why we see so many of these unfortunate preachers or ministers or whatever you want to call them, who they are harassing a little children with sexual activities. Why? Because some of them, they don't want a – well, let's be truthful. Some of them don't want a wife, okay? They want a man. But they're afraid that if they find out that a man wants a man, that somebody's going to condemn them. Well, we don't have to condemn you because you know you're condemned already based upon the word of God. Same thing with a lot of these women who unfortunately are in a place where they usurp authority over the man. See, but we don't want to face things like this. Why? Because we don't want to offend folks. We don't want to make people feel no certain kind of way. That's why we have one preacher who talks about, well, I'm not going to preach against sin because I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to make nobody feel bad. And I'm not going to put a cross in the church because I don't want to be offensive to anybody. These are things that are not faithful folks. These are folks who are not committed to the things of God. So again, we have a bunch of renegades, we have a bunch of bastards, and if we can really be truthful, a lot of them are straight up. When we were, and I'm gonna say it the way my late bishop would say it. He said, when the rubber meets the road, we get down to nitty gritty. We're dealing with a bunch of asses. I'm done.
All right, now anybody else?
Now,
Come on.
Can I ask a question to his statement?
Go ahead.
And the question, I mean, not really a question to him, but just about what that preacher's saying. If you don't put a cross in the church, is it in your message?
My goodness.
Hmm.
Good question.
See, and I'm finding out in a lot of places, the message of the cross is not even being preached anymore. Jesus is not being preached. So it's not about hanging up a cross on the wall and putting lamps behind it. Do you have a word that even talks about him being the sacrifice, being the crucifixion for us to come out of this? I mean, one man came here to fix up one time. He asked me, where are the crosses? I said, what crosses? He said, why you don't have no crosses in the back of your pulpit? I said, because I have a prophetic word hanging back there that the man came and painted for me. I said, having crosses in the church don't make nobody get saved. Yeah. I said, I had to tell the people and show the people what God had told and showed me. But I was just putting crosses up. Don't make nobody get saved. I got to preach Jesus.
Amen. That's the centrality of the message. Anybody else want to chime in?
Yeah, I do. I am not part of the panel. I am a listener.
And your name is?
Kim Dixon.
Hey, bless your heart, ladies and gentlemen. Let me introduce you. And Apostle Vincent L. Smith has the ability to introduce it even better than I can. So I'm going to give him that opportunity to introduce his daughter in ministry, who happens to be our youth pastor at Power to Stand Outreach Ministries.
Well, I will say tonight, y'all get ready to meet one of the craziest black women you ever met in your life. No, she's anointed. She has a great word. She loves God's people. Amen. And she does mighty things in the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you. But one of the things that I want to say is this is exactly why the prophecy of 2 Timothy is at hand, because we have allowed fear to manipulate our messages. We have allowed fear to manipulate our very foundation. This is a time where true Christ followers, true believers, real disciples, are supposed to dig in. We're supposed to stand taller and stronger. We're supposed to double up our efforts, so to speak, because of all that is happening. If we are to reach anybody during this time, now is the time to preach Christ. Now is the time. But everybody's so afraid, and it is a epidemic, the fear of feelings. Parents don't parent their kids anymore out of fear for how they may feel or what people may say. Teachers don't teach the kids in school out of fear because of the way that the kids are acting, because their parents are parenting out of fear. And it is happening in the church as well. The gospel is no longer being preached out of fear. Fear in the church where we preach the power to kill fear, overtake fear, where fear does not exist. Light and dark do not exist in the same place. However, even in the church house, even in our prayers, I work for Dover Air Force Base, and I am the chaplain for our Union and our Civil Air Patrol, and they ask me to be. But one of the rules is, as chaplain, because there are many different religions, I am not allowed to use the name Jesus. And so that was a big contention. I mean, it wasn't really a big contention because I told them that that was not going to happen. Even through my prayer, without having to say his name, you know who I'm talking about, but that is not the relationship that he and I have. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will cry out. It's just, that's who I am. The fear of them telling me no does not overpower the relationship that I have with Christ and the ordination of him telling me, you were to go and preach the gospel. That overrides any other fear. I'm not supposed to placate to your feelings. There's a difference between not saying nothing to hurt somebody's feelings and being able to speak properly so that the message still gets through and they begin to think, not get angry. But these things are happening here in the world, and it seems like it is pushing over the line, like it is backing the church up. It has the church cowering when this is a time for the praying and fasting. This is a time for, like, there should be an overabundance. Everywhere you go, you should be able to hear somebody preaching the gospel, mentioning Jesus, praying out loud. But it's not happening. There is a fear that is taken over at this particular time, and I just see a lack of courage to be visible. Like we're in our church house preaching to fellow followers because we're comfortable there. We can say whatever we want when it's, you know, the people we know. We already know the idioms and how to play church and the things that we say where, you know, we're comfortable and you know what I mean and I don't have to explain it. We're not speaking as if we are desperate to save souls.
My goodness, that was a mouthful right there all by itself. Now, I know Apostle Westbrook, I know you'll come in when you get ready to come in. But Apostle Smith, I want to go back to something. We had a conversation a couple of days ago, and you shared something with us. I believe it was myself and Elder Elect Nodella Jordan on the phone. May have been, I'm not sure, I think that was the but you said something that Joyce Myers shared with you. And it had something to do with the acronym of fear. Do you recall what that was by any chance?
The acronym of fear by Joyce Myers is is Peter. Oh Lord, Peter.
False
evidence appearing real.
False evidence appearing real.
That's what she made the acronyms of that word here, F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. And that's where we are in the church right now. As Evangelist just said, there's a fear in the church because the government said you can't talk about homosexuality no more. I ain't ready to talk about it. So, we're to talk about certain things, and we're even now, what happened to prayer on the altar and laying hands? A pandemic came, and I ain't talking about just acting stupid, but if God lets you lay hands, he also going to cover you and keep you well. People talk about, oh, we're going to pray for everybody, but we're not laying hands. Well, you're not led by the Holy Ghost fear.
There's a fear.
Yeah, I'm okay.
You know what? And see, now, is this what we're doing now? We're afraid to lay hands for fear that we may suddenly become. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and anybody that wants to can jump on this. Pastor Henderson, I know it's way past your bedtime, and we don't want you to doze off on us. I know you won't. I'm just saying. I'm kidding with you. I hope you know that. But nonetheless, think about this. We have not found a definite cure for cancer. We have found something that curbs AIDS. We found temporary fixes for so many different diseases. And it took time for all of these diseases for us to find a cure or something that looks like a cure or seems like a cure. Nobody finds it interesting that this pandemic shows up and in less than 3 years, we've got a vaccine that's supposed to curb this pandemic. I know the Bible says that we're getting wiser but weaker. And what's happening here is pharma, big pharma, is making money hand over fist with the gloves, with the vaccines, with the pills, and with all this different stuff. Where is the church in all of this? Somebody talk to me. I know we can establish the fact that a level, not all churches and not all church members are walking in fear, but there is a level of fear amongst the body of Christ that is causing us to not function in the fullness of what God called us to do. I believe the Bible told me in the Old Testament that I shall do exploits, and I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who said, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Where is the church? Why are we not responding to what's going on? Is this not a time for us to let the miracle signs and wonders that follow those who believe be made manifest? Where is the church? Talk to me, somebody. Anybody?
That's an excellent question.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's an excellent question, and I do have some comments to make, but I will release the mic and hold my thought because I'm just listening right now. Amen. My babies are asleep and really listening.
Well, I think
Go ahead.
Well, basically for me, I'm just finding that the gospel has been preached watered down. It's no longer been taught biblically, but more so emotionally. I just see like a lot of preachers, like someone says, they don't preach Jesus because they're more so concerned about the building fund and how much money that they can really prosper, honestly. Because if you notice, like if there is a church on every corner, and we still have crime rate and prostitution at a high rate, why is there no light? I mean, you have four churches on a block.
One
and
corner.
You still got crime.
Uh-huh.
You still got drugging. You still got
on that
police brutality.
On that block.
Mm-hmm. On that block. So I really believe it's more so about the Benjamin baby.
You're right in what you're saying. If I could add something to that, I mean, it is, you know, we're supposed to be endued with power from on high. Am I correct? Would anybody agree with that or disagree with that?
Yes.
Where's the
but
power?
You have to also remember, a lot of the young people don't know, so they go other places for feeling. I understand that part, but we're talking about young people, right? There's no message for young
people.
People
in general. Yeah.
We're talking about people in general.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Well, can you hear me real good? Amen.
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to just the principle, the base scripture is coming out of 2 Timothy 3, particularly verses 1 to 5. And it says, understand this. Come on. It's telling you to understand this. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. It's like red light. Hear me. Holy Spirit saying, stop, pause, listen. Because that, I believe this scripture, it tells us in detail, ungrateful people, unholy people, heartless people, people without self-control, treacherous people, people of conceit, lovers of themselves, having the sense of godliness, et cetera, and denying the power thereof. And your question is, well, where is the church? Well, there you go. Because most of the population, amen, that are walking in the spirit of rebellion, and then they have the audacity, as the man of God said, you have those who are bastards and renegades and orphan spirits, and you even have leaders operating in orphan spirits. Amen. And then when they can't control their people, they're saying that they're walking in rebellion because they're not going to go for this foolishness, doctrines of demons, ideologies that they're trying to promote in their church because they manipulate and control their people. And like the woman of God, Dr. Kimmy Kim said, it's all about the business. And they're about promoting their pot and their brands instead of promoting the kingdom and seeing souls. But let me get back to my point. 2 Peter 3, amen, says it so eloquently. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. But listen, my point is, how come where are the William Seymours? Where how come we don't see the move of the spirit with like the Catherine Kuhlmans or the Mary Edward Woodworth, amen, or the Charles Lake? Where the spirit of God is not going
anywhere.
Amen.
Well, you know, and I like that. I like what you put out there. And see, you can go right back to the scripture in Hebrews again. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it seems like our confidence in that which he has the ability to do in us, with us, and through us seems to have dissipated with time. And so when we say, is this what we're doing now? In other words, are we now relying on the dictates of our flesh now? Are we now relying on the word of the world through the news media and the newspapers and radio and things of this nature? Where, you know, I got to scream it out again. Church, where are you?
Yes, well,
we have lost our backbone.
Yes,
we have lost our backbone.
That's what they have. That's what this last couple of generations, that's what they have that's tangible. There are no longer, just as we just heard, that church of old where that relationship with God produced a power that was able to exhibit miracle signs and wonders. They have nothing to go by. They have there's no evidence for them to think that, oh, well, that's way better than this. They don't understand the favor of God is better than any quick dollar. There's no evidence for them. They don't hear it. They don't see it. They don't have an evidence that he is an all-powerful healing God. They don't see it. There's no evidence. The ones that the few and far between that actually make it to a mass media stage is not enough to be considered more than a fluke, because as soon as they say, oh, it was God, people shut their ears off. They are not interested in something that they can't see. It's not tangible. The young people don't even have the grandmamas of old, like us older generation that we had, you know, the grandmamas that dragged us to church and tarried on the altar and prayed for us. They don't have that. These young grandmamas aren't doing that because they weren't taught, and they're not interested, and nothing has piqued their interest because, again, we're afraid to give it the way that we got it.
Amen. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I say something? The scripture was mentioned. Christ, God is saying today, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But I see a very dangerous thing that is happening inside of the sanctuary now.
All right.
We're always talking about we're looking for something new. What are you going to find besides what already God sent out to
us? Uh-huh. All right.
So we got to be careful with that statement. Because some things we think is God, is Satan sending a separation, but good sounding words. And I'll use this. Look at Carlton Pearson. When you heard him preach back in the day, it didn't sound like no harm. Sound like Carlton was still going forth and anointed with a strong word, but we didn't realize he had this inclusion going.
Okay.
But he had asked God for something new, and Satan gave it to him.
Well,
he got
into
inclusion thinking that he had been left out, producing Jake out of the law and everybody else. If you produce them, you're the father. How you get left out?
My goodness. My goodness. Think about that for a hot minute. But, you know, and it brings me back to this. And before I move forward, is there anybody else? Henderson, you got anything you want to add?
I just want to agree with what has been said. And I think that I agree that Jesus is still the answer for the world today. He is still the answer.
Yes.
The mandate for us to preach the gospel with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we start preaching the message of Jesus, amen, then you have another message that's being preached, a message without power, a message without deliverance. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that when you begin to preach everything else but Jesus, finances, prosperity, this and that, inclusion, and all these other worldly teachings and ideologies that come into the church under the umbrella of trying to find something new, you know, you have left Jesus. And when you leave Jesus, there will be no power, there will be no anointing, there will be no miracles, signs, and wonders, because all of that is in his name. And so we need to go back to preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And we need to go back to preaching sanctification and holiness and those things that brought the deliverance of miracles, signs, and wonders. And in closing, I want to say in that fifth verse, it says, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. People are saying that they're Christians, just the word Christian, but there's no power because they're living in sin, because they don't represent. And so that's just having a form. And because of that form has led so many astray. So we have to go back to being the real form, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just being Christians with our mouths, with a form of godliness, because this pandemic has come to show who is really standing on the word of God with his foundation, Jesus Christ. And so we got to stand and know that we're standing on the word of God and nothing added, nothing taking away, but the pure word of God in Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and we must make sure that our foundation is laid on him. Amen.
Now, you said something that I was kind of honing in on, you know, and let me go here, because we often talk about this, you know, and I mean, is this what we're doing? Let's talk about the, I don't want to put, say, the televangelist and include everybody. I'm saying it this way so we can understand, because if you go on social media, we see a lot of gimmicks being performed during these quote-unquote services. I've been on social media on a Sunday, and in 30 minutes' time, I have probably seen more gimmicks than I can. And when I say gimmicks, I mean people trying to do, first and foremost, at what point do we need anything from this world? Since when did we need the world to lead us, guide us, guard us, or govern us? Since when have we needed this world to teach us how to love one another? Somebody talk to me.
Well,
since when?
Well, listen, man of God, it's not, we don't need this. But the problem is that the church has allowed the world to come in and adapt their principles. That's why I, and you, if you get upset with me, you get upset with me. That's why I have a problem with this thing called the purpose-driven church, because what it does is it presents a friendly seeker church, so that people come in, right, and they no longer have standards. Let me give you a typical example, okay? Now, Bishop Elect, Apostle Smith, Apostle Westbrook, Pastor Anna and Dr. Kenny, y'all can help me with this. Would you put on sweats, right, and some dressy shoes to go work out at the gym?
No.
But somehow it's okay to put on a two-piece suit with a tie and wear some sneakers to the house of the Lord. Now, I'm kind of baffled, because what you're doing is you're sending a message saying that my dress up could be like what the world do. Because if you think about it, this is stuff that, you know, Dougie Fresh and Cool Moe Dee and some of them used to do. They would dress up with nice clothing and then put on some what they call kicks, some sneakers. We even saw it with Run DMC and them. You know, that was their thing. And the problem is it has been adapted in today's local assembly. I look at it, and because they're trying so much to attract people in the world, they don't even have a standard in their dress code. What I'm saying is what they've done is the church has adapted the ways of the world. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I didn't read this, but I'm almost certain that I saw something that says, and be not conformed to this world.
Right.
But being transformed by the renewing of the mind. But I think if people have misconstrued the word renewing of the mind for removing of the mind, because I promise you, we're in a time where the church has lost their
mind. My God.
My
goodness. He said, you said a mouthful right there. They've exchanged the word renewing with and put in the word removing. And what that simply means to me is, if it's okay, you know, if it's okay with the world, it's okay with me. If I remember correctly, did not the scripture say, be ye therefore imitated as dear children? Who is God? How do we imitate him? Come on, talk to me. Who is God?
But the scripture tells us that they have the appearance of godliness. And
yes.
But see, the thing about it is that you recognize I don't want to get ahead of myself because there's so many things I wanted to buzz in on. Amen. But you, if we who have the Holy Ghost,
yes.
Amen, in us, and we see such a thing, there's going to be like some ding, 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 ding in our spirit that that don't line. Something is amiss there. Amen. Something's just not right. And see, but the getting back to the scripture, it says they have an appearance of godliness. But hey, check it out. What's with the kicks? And what's with the image? You're looking like the world. You're not looking like the high priest. You're not looking like a king. You're not looking like the Son of God. You're not looking like a man who's been consecrated and sanctified. And I'm not saying that the clothes make the person. But let me get to my point. Somebody made the comment about the church that we're supposed to be the example in our communities, be the example in our cities, be the example to this world, because obviously the nation is in need of an answer. And the church,
amen.
And I don't like to say it's the local church with the four walls. That's why I like to say kingdom. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom indeed is not being preached in the church. Instead, we're hearing motivational messages. We're hearing dogmas. Amen. We're hearing inclusion. We're hearing, it's okay for you to sin. God's going to forgive you. The devil is a lie. That's like saying that the whole purpose of Christ going to the cross was for nothing. But the kingdom
protocol
says, God the Father is my source. The source of a thing determines the nature of a thing, right? You recall that old saying that the apple doesn't fall too far away from the tree? Well, the Bible says all things were created by God. And if we are created by God, created in his image, amen, and if he says that whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, et cetera, created by him, all things are for his good pleasure, for his will. Hallelujah. So for me, when I begin to change my thinking and begin to take this at heart, it takes away all the religious excuses we make why you can't change. All the excuses are gone when you truly understand that kingdom dominion, amen, coupled with the grace of God, which is kingdom grace, the enabling power given to us to change, glory to God, and to hear and to apprehend the truth of the word, we become like him. It's not me that is doing it, but the grace of God in me. Amen. We tap into Jesus. And I think the problem is we don't hear enough of Jesus in our churches today. We don't hear enough of us crying out to the masses, you've got to change your heart. Because if you don't, you're going to hell. And to tell
make it
them
plain.
Of his, pardon me?
I said make it plain. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. And to, it's like we have to be the voice of God in this earth realm. And I think that we want to be the voice of the world and say, oh, baby, it's okay if you sin. Oh, he does understand. But he doesn't want you to go back and do it again. He wants you to walk in wholeness, and wholeness means that you're walking in deliverance, that the word is very capable to do abundantly, my God, abundantly beyond your comprehension, my God, today. So the gospel of the kingdom indeed is not being preached in the churches. And I concur with the woman of God that spoke earlier about the fear. There's this fear that's being promoted. And because we are letting that be the loudest voice in our spirit, because you know what goes into the heart of man comes out. You know, you are what you become. And if you're seeing fear, amen, then you will begin to manifest that in your thoughts, in your actions, in your choices. And the problem is that the word of God is not being promoted in our churches. Again, as people talking about everything else but that, Glory to God. And I'm not saying all churches are doing that, because indeed there are remnants, amen, like power to stand, speaking and proclaiming the word only, glory to God. And Apostle Smith speaking and declaring the word only, hallelujah. And Apostle Whitlow speaking and declaring the word only, promoting the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. Not about this mixed contingent gospel, glory to God. Not about becoming complacent that we look more like the world than like Christ, but that we are declaring, decreeing the kingdom of God is at hand.
You just brought up something, my dear sister. Verse 14, I believe it's in the sixth chapter of Romans, if I'm not mistaken. I could be, and correct me if someone needs to. I believe it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. Key words, make no provision for the flesh. When flesh is on parade, you have to say, so this is what we're doing. We're putting our flesh on parade. For what? So who could see? Why are we so interested in pleasing man? And why are we so interested in grandstanding to the point and place where we got people, we're saying in essence, look at me. What is wrong with that picture? I mean, the last time I checked, I'm going to go back on some old school preachers. And one of my favorite old school preachers was the late Bishop Walter Joyner. One of his famous sayings was, just hide me behind the cross of Christ. And I can back that up with scripture, because when you look at Galatians 2:20, the second chapter in the 21st, Paul simply says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're not putting scriptures like that out there for our individuals to hear because of the simple fact that we're, you know, and I'm going to say this. I'm the first to say, to a certain point, the prosperity message must be understood. I don't want it to become doctrine, but it has to be understood, because the law of reciprocity, according to Luke 6:38, comes into play and operates in every level and every aspect of our being. And when we get to the point and place where we try to dismiss that, we're taking out something that's supposed to be part of us. After all, Matthew 6:33 tells us to do what? To seek first the kingdom of Almighty God. And he said all these things, the things that the world seeks after, the things that the world desires, the things that the world is fighting for, fighting over, and killing about, these things are added to us. You need an example? How about if I call Solomon to the witness stand and let him tell the story of how he prayed before God and asked God to give him the wisdom to go in and out before his people, when he turned around and said, for who can judge so great a people? And God was so well pleased with his prayer that God turned around and not only granted what he prayed for, but gave him some extra benefits to go along with what he prayed for. Solomon winds up being one of the richest men, and I don't want to focus in on riches, because a lot of us miss prosperity message in an effort to get rich. God didn't call us to get rich. God called us, we can be in a wealthy place, but be ready to distribute that which God has given you. If God has blessed you with finances, he gave you finances so that you being blessed could turn around and be a blessing. And this is where we miss it. The minute we get something worth talking about, we start hoarding it. Or let's go one more level here. We turn around, God puts us in a position of authority, and so we turn around, and because we want this to be about us, we start promoting ourselves within the framework of the work that God has given us to do. God didn't put you there for you to be promoted. You let others. I like the scripture that says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Shut up about yourself. This ain't about you, boo. Let me stop right there. I think I'm getting a little righteously indignant. Anybody else got any comments? We are at the end of the show. I think it was a great discussion. We haven't even tapped into this, and we're going to do what we can to come back at another time next week. The women are in charge. Ladies, I invite you all to come back. I invite you. I'm not going to ask for final says. I'm just going to say, are there any other comments? Well, silence gives consent. We want to thank, go ahead, you were about to say? Okay, you weren't? All right. We want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to hear this podcast. This is the Pastor's Corner. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I want to thank my panelists, my guests, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Apostle Dawn Westbrook, Pastor Anna Henderson, Evangelist Kim Dixon, and, of course, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, who always holds it down for us, and you, the listening audience, because without you, we would not have a podcast to which we could put before you. But before we leave you, we have to ask a question. If you left the face of this earth today in the next few minutes, where is eternity for you? As you can see me, not that you can actually physically see me, but as you see other people and other people see you, that flesh that your spirit dwells in is going back to the dirt from whence it came, and your spirit is returning to eternity. The challenging question is, what does eternity look like for you? I want to introduce you to the ABCs of salvation. Very simple stuff. First and foremost, the Bible says, number one, it's impossible to please God. Number two, I need to help you understand God has given you a measure of faith. And when I say the ABCs, you have to first and foremost acknowledge the fact that you are in fact a sinner and you have need of a Savior. God sent his only begotten Son. This is what Holy Week or Passion Week is all about. As you recount the steps of Jesus throughout the course of this week, all this was for you. He hung up for your hang-ups. In all his great love and mercy wherewith God loved us, God allowed his Son to take on the sins of the world that we would exchange, as it was said yesterday in our Bible study, our sinful nature for a nature of righteousness. If you're willing to acknowledge that you need a Savior, the next thing you need to do is believe that God sent the very best that he had in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came through 40 and two generations and came and lived a life on this earth and represented the God the Father to the place and point that he left no stone unturned. If you believe that God sent Jesus to die for your sin, that makes you a candidate for salvation. Last but by no means least, all you have to do is by faith confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of your life. Repent of your sin. God will come in. The Lord Jesus Christ will become Lord of your life, and you can begin to live the newness and the new life that God has provided for you. I say this all the time, and I know Minister Dixon, don't say a word, just let me get it out. I have yet to see a baby come out of its mother's womb, go into a kitchen, and cook an eight-course meal. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen on a moment's notice. The minute you get saved, it is your spirit that is reconnected to God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Your flesh has to be brought under subjection over a period of time. Some things will be instantaneous, and other things may take a little while, but don't get discouraged. You stay connected to the source. God is waiting to work with you. God is willing to do what it takes to mature you, to perfect you, to bring you to the place and point where he now makes you a vessel meet for his use so that you can go back out there and produce after your own kind. If you're the individual that wants to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, a simple prayer by faith. These are words that I will speak, but these words obtain life and can lead you to a saving grace if you add your faith to these words. Just simply say, "Dear God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. By faith, I'm confessing Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. By faith, today, I begin to live a new life in Christ. Teach me how to walk in you. Lead me, guide me, guard me, govern me, protect me, and correct me as I begin to mature in you. By faith, I accept Jesus as Lord, and I thank you for saving me. I will tell the world about my newfound Savior and the new life that was given to me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you've prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We thank you so very much. You can go to our page, the Pastor's Corner. You can leave a comment. Let us know who you are. Please allow us opportunity and chance to reach out to you, whether it be by Facebook or if you have an email address, someone will reach out to you. I promise you, we want to help you on your journey, to help you to understand what it means to grow in the admonition of the Lord. So with that being said, I want to say thank you to everybody. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please get this song ready. I haven't done this in so long. I think now would be the appropriate time to put it out there. And no, I'm not going to grandstand. Listen carefully to the words that I speak over you on this given day. As you go through your week and the rest of your week, and especially this Passion Week in Christ Jesus, keep the pedal to the metal, the pep in your step, the glide in your stride. Enjoy life's ride. Keep the smoke in your stroke. Don't you dare let life cause you to choke. Yesterday's history, forget about it. Tomorrow's a mystery. Stop worrying about it. Live today as if it were your last. Continue to bless the Lord. Tell the devil he's defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord. God is still in control. You have an anointing. You have an appointment. You have a destiny. And you have the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and guard you through whatever it is that you're dealing with. Until next Thursday for the Pastor's Corner. Stop, wait, hold up. For this particular week, Passion Week, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, 701-801-9814. I'll give that number again, 701-801-9814. Evangelist Kimberly Dixon will come and give us our Good Friday message. We invite you to come and join us. I know God has a word for us, and I'm looking forward to it. We don't want you to miss it. Come one, come all. I promise you, it's going to be a Holy Ghost ball. And I'm not talking about fun and festivities. I'm talking about the seriousness of the word. That's tomorrow, Friday, April the 15th, at 12 noon on the prayer line, 701-801-9814. The Lord bless you till we meet again. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball is in your court.
Wonder if you made the right choice. You wonder if you're on the right course. Did you hear his voice? Did you hear in that still voice? Trust the process. That's all it is. Just the process. No,
you are
the healing bomb for someone else. And in this life, friends will come and friends will go. And you wonder why this pain day in and day out. Why does it seem to stay? Put these issues and trials go away. But then he'll speak to you. And that's his voice. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
That's all it is. It's just the process.
Just the process.
not just for a house and not just for a car, but it's for you to be an encouragement for somebody else. Remember that time you was going through, somebody encouraged you. So now it's your time to be a healing loss for someone else. So you wonder why friends walked away. And you wonder why these trials seem to stay. And where these issues and these burdens that I carry day in and day out. And you hear, I hear you God, trust the process. There's a reason for it all. Just trust us. Someone else. My own testimony is there was a time in my life where I was home. There was a time that I didn't know which way to go. I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But then I remember my mother saying, Scott, put a song in your soul. Put a song in your spirit. That the going may get rough and the going may get tough. The heels, they're hard to climb.
Thank you.